Running a call center sales team is definitely filled with challenges, but at the same time, can be very rewarding. There is no manual for how to win the call center sales game, which is why this podcast exists. As your guide, our goal is to help you overcome challenges, discover new tools, innovate where possible, and hear stories from others who have made it to the top of the call center mountain. Welcome to the Scalable Call Center Sales Podcast with your host, Jason Cutter.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? So glad that you can join another episode of the Scalable Call Center Sales Podcast. I am very excited for my conversation that I'm going to have today. I just know it. Like, we're about to jump into this. I know what we've been talking before we hit record, so I know it's going to be a blast. So I've got Nick Glimsdahl with me today. He is from Press One for Nick, which is a podcast. We're going to talk about that, as well as VDS, which is focused on customer service and customer experience in the call center industry. So as the director of contact center solutions at VDS, he is focused on being a thought leader in customer service, customer experience. And again, like I said, he hosts this podcast, which we'll talk about and how that kind of blends in with all of this. And I know that we're going to have a blast. Nick, welcome to the Scalable Call Center Sales Podcast.
Thank you so much, Jason. Happy to be here, man.
So for people tuning in, if you're a longtime listener of me, my podcast, my presentations, things that I do, then you already know why I would have someone like Nick on a sales-related podcast. If you're new to my show, first, welcome. Glad you're tuning in. If this is the first time listening to a podcast of mine, this should be interesting, especially if you're in sales, because we're going to talk about where Nick's focus on customer experience, customer service fits in the world of sales and sales leaders. And it might not seem like it does, but obviously it does, because sales is setting up the customer experience from the beginning, right? Starts with marketing and branding, then then sales, and then it goes into them being a customer. And in a well-run organization, then sales and customer service, the front of the house, the back of the house, like from my restaurant days, everyone is working together and there's a good integration. However, and Nick, let's talk about this because I think this will be fun. Just a warning for the people listening or watching this. If you think sales and sales operations and salespeople are untouchable gods in an organization where they can do no harm and everyone else is there to serve them, you are going to get triggered by this conversation. if you believe that customer service or customer success and the company's success are what matters the most, then you're going to love this conversation and you're in the right place. How about that for a setup, Nick?
That's amazing. I couldn't have said it better myself. Well done.
So let's just jump into this. Where do you see like sales? This is a sales podcast, but where do you see sales's role or part in the customer experience and customer experience journey?
So if it's done right, I would say it's part of...
Let's start with done right. Yes.
Yeah. If it's not broken, if it's done right, man, you just need to be, it's need to be part of the entire journey. The tough part about sales or what you're measured on as a salesperson is you go through this journey, you wine and dine them at the very beginning. You're trying to build this relationship. You're saying, hey, let's grab dinner. Let me give you a gift. And then it goes to signing the ink and they're like, hey, I no longer get paid on this opportunity. Yeah, I'm going to go to the next one. I'm out. And they kind of wash their hands and go to the next opportunity. From my perspective, they should be part of this journey and they should be continuing to find ways to get paid through that journey so that they are saying, well, what's in it for me is I need to keep and retain this customer for life, focus on the customer lifetime value, not necessarily just on that one-time commission, but focus on the lifetime value of that customer and finding ways to help solve their business needs and improve their experience. And it just happens to be that you can solve their problem with some of the technology or solutions that you have. It's not always just throwing a square peg in a round hole saying, hey, I'm going to hit quota this month by introducing you to a new solution. And then I'm going to walk away again. It's continuing to stay with them for that journey.
And so, but where is that balance though? Because as you're talking about that, that sounds great, right? So compensating salespeople based on the lifetime value and the total journey.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, where do you draw that line, or what percentage would you allocate to that? When you're mentioning that, the part that jumps in my mind is, I think customer service, customer success, operations, processing, marketing, they're not necessarily compensated or bonused in the same way as salespeople are, right? They do their job and obviously have hopefully some kind of bonus in place. But now you're talking about, okay, so we've got to essentially bribe this salesperson to care and stay involved long-term more than anybody else.
So I would say that what's their role in that? And then how does that hand off from sales? Because the salesperson can't be 100% there 100% of the time. They have to go out and ground and pound and stay and build relationships with the net new. However, what is that transfer from the salesperson to the customer success or to operations or to implementation or to support on that journey? And if they're not it's not a full on, hey, here's the brain dump. Let's meet on a continued basis. Maybe it's a quarterly business review that the customer success team is coming back to them, or account managers is coming back to the salesperson saying, hey, you mentioned this, this, and this, and this during that discovery, and we sold them this solution. Here's the situation today. Maybe it's a touch base back and forth. Maybe it's and they can jump in on the quarterly business reviews if needed, but it's not necessarily a pull back the Band-Aid and I'm out situation. I think that both customer success and maybe even operations or something should be maybe more involved and when it comes to providing support or benefit from a commission perspective, keeping that customer for the lifetime. And it's slowly I don't think the salesperson should say, hey, I'm going to get 20% now and I'm going to get 20% for continuing for infinity and for the life of that contract. It should be maybe a slowly blend away from it, but there should be a constant communication back and forth as needed.
Got it. And just to clarify, what type of sales product, sales cycle size? It sounds like you're talking, this is B2B, obviously, in this kind of framework.
Yeah. So from what we do as an organization is more the contact center solution. So it's the cloud contact centers, and then it's kind of the ancillary products around it based off of what they're trying to accomplish and the relationships that we've built. And it's the sales cycles anywhere from, 1 year to 2 years. Maybe it's as quick as 3 to 6 months. It doesn't happen as often. I mean, with the market today, with people trying to make that move to the cloud, people are saying, hey, I should have probably moved 3 months ago and COVID kind of hit a wrecking ball into my window and I should probably do something about that. And we just happen to find budget. But it's a constant relationship building, adding value, being that thought leader, like you said on the Press One for Nick podcast, and giving them the right value at the right time, and not trying to find ways to bamboozle them, because everybody's getting bamboozled by their organizations, and they just want to find ways like, how do I pull back the curtain from everybody else, and you just tell me the truth? Like that'd be neat.
that would be neat. I love that. I think, especially putting in perspective for people tuning into this, is when you're talking about a sales cycle that, if you're lucky and the universe aligns, unfortunately, like it did with the pandemic, to shorten your sales cycle to 3 months, that's like the fastest, because it's kind of a crisis for call centers at that time when everyone had to go remote. But normally you're looking at a 1 to 3 year sales cycle. The amount of relationship that's built with the salesperson and that customer, once the deal is inked, right, and then moves on, yes, that can make for a very abrupt ending, which is like, hey, I know we've been friends for a year, and I know I've been like pretending to be your friend, or it feels like it for a year. And now that it's over, like I'm out and I'll never talk to you again. So obviously people tuning in, it's going to be relative to what your sales cycle are. If it's shorter, it's like, what does that look like? I think I love what you said though, about, especially in a B2B sale, the quarterly business review with that client. Like that should be the salesperson has the initial relationship. And I think that advice is great.
Well, just think of, I always go back to sports. Just think if you had a teammate, I don't know, football player, and you have the offensive line and you get to know them and they say, hey, I got your, you're the quarterback, because everybody as a prospect should be the hero of the journey. And so for me, it's in the marketing story, I am the guide in that. So I'm covering their six as a quarterback, but all of a sudden the play happens and we get the touchdown. I'm like, hey, just want to let you know, there's going to be somebody else covering this, and best of luck. I mean, they're pretty good, but you know, they're a little bit smaller, maybe don't weigh as much, and they have only 2 years experience instead of the 20 that I had. They're going to be like, what do you mean? I still need you. I still need that protection on the things that I can't see today.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that analogy is great. I mean, you see that with, especially if you look at sports, I mean, there's people who are traded all the time. I mean, it's still a business, and you know, how much that upsets and disrupts like the trust and the relationships, and then how that has to be rebuilt. So what are some examples of where you've seen that done right? Not just for you internally, like with what you have with your sales cycle, but obviously, you know, you have an interesting perspective and your organization does, especially with the podcast too, is where you have insight into what others are doing, not just your, you know, what you have on your sales side. What are some examples of where sales and the overall, like, let's just call it customer experience operation is working together well for the benefit of the clients and the company?
Yeah. I mean, one that just popped into mind, I interviewed a couple of people from an organization called LexisNexis, and they're based out of Ohio here. And they realized that there was a gap between the sales drop off. Hey, high five, we made a sale. Everybody's excited. Let's throw a celebration. Let me give you a cake at Go Live. And the transition from that day zero or day one to day 60. Day 60, all of a sudden they're like, well, wait, they promised this. They said this. This was their timeline. This is the communication that they said they were going to do. And there was that gray area. Every time there's a gray area as an organization or as an individual, I feel like I'm going to go to the worst case scenario. They hate me. They're not doing this. They're going to overcharge me, like whatever that cost or whatever that is. And they realized that there was that gap. So they created a department, put somebody in that department, and ran it. They built it from the ground up. And now it's a customer success group from, I think, day zero or day one to day 60. And it's kind of that medium where they're handholding still that high touch that they were experiencing as a sales group on the sales team. And they transition it. And it's still like, hey, I'm still a good friend. I'm still hanging out with you. I'm still going to communicate with you, maybe over communicate with you, give you what you need, answer all the specific questions that you have so that it all is, so you have peace of mind on this journey, because it's still uncomfortable regardless of how easy we make it. And then they transitioned it to the next side. The retention that they had was unreal of transitioning and just implementing that customer success.
So was that customer success department that they formed actually like doing implementation, onboarding, account management in that interim? Like you said, it sounded like this 2 day window, or like what were they actually focused on in that transition from
sales? Yeah. I mean, from my perspective, I'll have to go back and listen to my own episode. But, from my perspective, it was, they weren't doing any of the implementation. It was all communication and making sure that individual or that organization had that peace of mind.
Got it. Okay.
So they weren't the minions on the back end doing the work, the implementation, the technical, the integration, whatever it is. They were the constant communication, more the project managers of the org, mm-hmm. than they were the implementation team.
I love it. I think that's great. That reminds me of when I worked at Microsoft for a couple of years, a long time ago, when I still didn't know what I want. I still don't know what I want to do now, but when I really didn't know what I wanted to do when I grew up is... I met somebody who I became friends with in a training, and his role was technical account manager. And he was the liaison with Microsoft's corporate clients. So he was one of like a handful of people that dealt with Bank of America. And his job was to be that intermediary between the customer and what they needed and making sure they were happy. And then the engineers and technicians who talked engineer talk and technician talk,
yeah,
and like bridging that gap to make sure the customer was always happy and taken care of. And I think that's great. I think a lot of times, you know, people go from sales to implementation or onboarding or whatever that is, and then that person is technical or in the weeds or focused on like the success of the project and not the success of the customer experience and that relationship. So I love that example. I think that's great.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, even on our side, on the VDS side, we really saw a gap between what the manufacturer was doing and what the customer actually wanted. The manufacturer is really good at providing the technology, really good at innovating, really good at integrating, having the developers. They were not the best at creating that high touch experience that they wanted and resolving a lot of the problems. And so we stepped in. I mean, this was, we kind of grew up in the UC space the last 10, 15 years. Now we kind of transitioned to cloud contact center only. And that's our goal, is to be the mortar between the bricks and help solve those problems. And if it's designing it, implementing it, pull the curtain back on the manufacturer, or supporting the organization, it's been a fun journey to help people see that.
All right, so that's a great example, the LexisNexis one. And obviously anyone wants to check out that full episode, go to pressoneforNick.com/podcast, which we'll mention at the end. But I think your podcast is amazing, so I want to plug that as much as I can. So that's a great example, not from the podcast, because I don't want you to point any fingers at guests that maybe we're doing it wrong, but just in your experience of what you've seen, like what are some examples of where you've just seen it like not effective, that sales to customer experience, just the whole thing, like anything that comes to mind with that?
Yeah, the one thing that just popped into my head, a couple years ago, my front door, we've been in this house for, you know, quite a few years now, and the gold handle on my screen door fell off, and I was like, this is awesome. Great. Okay, let's see what this experience is going to be like, because I don't know who the company is, and searched around and I found the company's name, and I can't remember them offhand. But I pulled up their website on my phone and it said, hey, you want to chat? And I was like, great. Yeah, let's do this. Let's chat. And chatted back and forth. They said, oh, what's the part number? I looked at the part number. Somehow I found it in there. They said, tell me about the experience. Is it rusty? What's going on? How did it fall apart? Do you have a warranty on this? And I was like, perfect. Like, here's the price. And I was like, can I just pay for it? Can I Apple Pay? Can I, you know, Zelle, like what's the best way for me to deliver that experience? And they're like, actually, here's a phone number. Will you please just go back into, you know, hang up with me because I can't transfer you, and go back in queue, because I was actually chatting. But I can't have somebody call you and go back in queue, and it'll probably be about 20 minutes. That is the worst experience. Obviously, there's another one that I can, I won't throw them under the bus, but that was one of the experiences. Another one, I had to actually reach out to the chief customer officer of the Fortune 100 retail company, because I had 20 interactions with the call center and they basically said I couldn't do anything. And I had a warranty. The dishwasher was implemented wrong and the water was coming back into the dishwasher. And that was great, because then it was creating mold and there was all sorts of shenanigans on that end. But unless I reached out to them after 20 interactions with the call center, chat, email, everything, voice, they basically said, good luck. Until I reached out to them, they're like, yeah, we can't do anything. Within 48 hours, I had a brand new dishwasher and my warranty was fixed. And it wasn't because they had a great process. It's because I figured out the best way to solve my problem. And I shouldn't have to do that, because how many people were in my situation that just said, screw it, I'm going to a different company and I'm taking all of my business with me, my future business with me. And it's unfortunate that it has to come to that, where I have to send it wasn't even a nasty gram. I just said, hey, here's my experience. I even created like a 3-page PowerPoint and it just said, here's the steps that I've done. You tell me how you should solve this problem. And immediately I got to like the executive escalation team in customer service. And he's like, how can I help? I'm here for you. How do I have that experience every time that I'm here for you?
Yeah. And it's interesting to think of, you know, what an organization did, what they put in place or is not in place to just have those, right? The how much are the frontline people empowered to succeed, right? We look at one of the best case studies for this would be Zappos, where you're buying something online, shoes. If you have any issues, call customer service. They literally, each person is empowered with a budget of a certain amount of money to just fix whatever it is and provide a good experience, versus like what you had where, you know, this disconnect from I bought this thing to I need some help to I was promised that this should work to I've got to go, you know, through a lot of effort to even make things right, which, you know, again, like you said, the challenge is a lot of companies, they're not going to notice it when those people leave, because a lot of people just leave silently and then they don't realize the effect of their sales and customer experience.
Yeah. If I could go back to the '90s, maybe it was before that, but, it's the whole silent but deadly, right? It's gonna stink. I don't know where it came from, but it's gonna hurt my business, and eventually it's gonna be real slow, and then it's gonna hit me. Horrible analogy, but I think at the end of the day, people really don't really measure the retention of the organization because that's not what they're measured on. They don't, similar to customer experience. I mean, at the end of the day, if you're not focusing on the customer experience, if you're not leaning into the employee experience on both sides, they're going to feel it and you're going to have retention issues on either side.
So let's talk about that since you brought it up, then we'll go back to talking about the sales side. I was going to say, go back to bashing sales, but go back to talking about the sales side again, with the goal of making this successful for organizations that are listening to this. But what have you seen work well, or what kind of things in place for that employee experience? Because whether it's sales, customer service, retention, back office, whatever it is, like, the customer or the employee experience will lead to the customer experience that you want for your customers, right?
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, happy employees equal happy customers. And the question is, what does that look like? It's not this magic bullet. It's not like, hey, I have a kegerator in the corner and that's going to be, you get to wear flamingo shirts on Friday. Like that's not the culture, the experience to drive customer experience, but what is the employee's journey? What's the employee's, what's their why on helping that customer? And it could be direct to human interaction with another customer. But at the end of the day, regardless of how many employees are between you and the customer, it always ends with the customer. And so if you actually think through that and you understand how, what's your why in that journey, you would assume that you would think different. You would assume that these people are coming in and they're trying to solve a problem because we didn't hit expectations. Customer service happens when customer experience fails. And if you can truly build a relationship, understand where they're at today and solve their problem in the least amount of effort, they're going to have a better experience. But if you don't have the people, the right people in the right place, right? It's the book Traction. Am I sitting in the right seat? Am I on the right bus? Am I facing the right direction? You can have the bus analogy or the canoe analogy or whatever, but is there the right people? Do you have the right processes in place to make it easy? And then it's, I think, technology. Just because I sell technology doesn't mean I think technology is first. If anything, it should be a conduit to solving business objectives or business issues or customers' experiences, not the other way around. And if you don't have those in place and consistently monitoring them through data, if it's pulse surveys or anything else, then you're going to continue to go backwards. But if you don't have all of that in place, you're not going to improve your customer experience because they're not set up for success.
From what I've seen, and I want to know if you have any idea on how often this happens, I feel like there's a lot of companies that try to solve their operational problems, their people problems, their customer, their sales problems, whatever it is, with technology first. If I just get the latest widget or another widget, something in sales enablement, customer enablement, then that will fix it for me. How often are you seeing that as what companies are asking for? And then where does that fit into you selling, let's say, technology and going, I can sell you this, but we got some other problems to fix first, or it's not going to work because everything's on fire.
Yeah. For us at the, on the BDS side, it's our goal to do a discovery first. It's not necessarily saying, hey, let me open up my black leather jacket, show you which contact centers we have and slam one in. And it's truly understanding where they're at. And then what are the customer's experience, or what are their metrics that they're trying to hit? What are their pain points? What's the sentiment analysis maybe that the customers are feeling? Let's interview the frontline employees. Let's interview the supervisors, and let's interview the executives too, because what are the executives trying to accomplish as well? If you can align all of those, then you can bring it back to technology. But the problem that I see, like you said, is people will say, hey, we need this solution. And I'm like, great. Tell me more about that. Like what makes you, instead of just saying why you're an idiot, don't do that. You know, that like go backwards a little bit, take a few more steps back and say, what makes you want to do that? Tell me more about why you feel like that is the right solution. And if you actually just ask the right questions and sit back and shut up and listen to them and let them be heard, and then you can give your opinion. If you just say, this is the best solution, and you say, oh yeah, you're right, 100% right, let me implement it for you, and you don't solve their problem, then you're just like everybody else. You're not actually the thought leader. You're not actually the subject matter expert. You're saying, I'm going to make a sale. Then you're just like every other salesperson.
Yeah, and such good advice, such good standard sales advice that I still see companies and individuals struggle with, where they think their job is to just talk about features and benefits and push whatever they're selling on everybody. They drank the Kool-Aid. They think everyone should just want it. Doesn't matter if it's actually going to work for you, which goes back to kind of where we started in this conversation. And I can see now why you're talking about your sales cycles being so long, because you're doing that discovery, you're going through that whole process. Obviously, people listening or watching this might think, well, I don't want to have a 1 to 3 year sales cycle. I've got a 1 month or a 1 week sales cycle. I mean, take it and make it relative to what you're doing. But fundamentally, if you're selling something, especially as a technology piece, here's what I know, and please confirm this, Nick, is that if you're just selling your technology to whoever says they think they want it, then there is a much lower chance that it's actually going to succeed if those other parts aren't in the place. Like you said, the people, process, and then technology as something else, right?
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, if you're not solving their problem and you're not staying with them to fix the technology that you sold to them, then they're going to jump to somebody else. Most of my opportunities today, it's so interesting. What, 20% of the market, I don't know the exact stats, but have gone to the cloud today. Mm-hmm. Most of my opportunities, companies who have come to me to help them solve their cloud contact center solutions, have already gone to the cloud once. And so what does that mean? For me, I think they're drinking the Kool-Aid and they're getting bamboozled by somebody that says, we're the best, we're the greatest, and here's why all these other guys are not good. And then they leave. And so it's a continuous cycle, and it's not healthy, and it needs to be fixed.
Yeah. And I can totally see that. I mean, and then the challenge with that is, like, especially this is for the sales side, for people who are in sales, is you might think, oh, that's great, because they already understand cloud and they did it, and this will be easier, right? Or they already have signed up for this kind of thing, so this will be easier, right? The challenge is that they didn't have a good experience, if they thought that it was a waste of money, if they feel like cloud technology is the problem, or they think that I signed up for a gym before and it didn't work out and the gym is the problem. And it's like, okay, Now you're trying to get them to sign up for a new gym. You're actually sometimes up against a bigger wall because they have this negative experience, right? Or this waste of money that occurred.
Yeah. I mean, just think if, again, I have the worst analogies in the world, but just pretend that somebody was a, some dog was an awesome dog, but a horrible owner. And they were like, hey, I'm going to put this dog up in the kennel and put it up for adoption because I don't need this anymore. I don't want to deal with it. And then this new owner shows up and they're like, hey, I'm going to solve all your problems. I'm going to give you the best toys, the best bed. And by the way, there's a pool in my backyard if you want to jump in that. And the dog's like, oh, like, who are you? Like, are you going to hit me? Are you going to feed me on time? Are you going to kennel me for 24 hours a day? Like, that takes a journey and it takes education and it takes time. And there's not going to be a time, regardless of the technology, that sometimes that you just have to take that time and educate them and answer any questions and be there for them and maybe even have empathy in the moment. And then at the right time, solve their problems.
Where do you see the responsibility or who or where in the organization, or how do you make it successful to look at the call center? And this is sales to service to everything, to look at it holistically and want to like integrate as much as possible and look at it instead of the silo, right? Instead of customer service leader saying, I want this and sales saying, I want that. And everyone is just totally separate.
Yeah. It still happens, but I would say that historically the call center or the contact center used to be a cost center or the necessary evil. It is now, somebody had once said recently that the contact center is the front door to your business now more than ever. And it's all of the things that it's all of its tentacles are getting pushed into everywhere else. All the channels, all the social, the listening, the analytics. And so the more that customer experience is getting pushed out, the more customer experience departments or marketing is saying, wait, you have the data that I want. You've had it this entire time. I just need to access it and change it and adapt it and make it clean and then turn it into a story so that I can get more budget or solve more problems. And the contact center leader is like, well, yeah, you just haven't asked for it. Or operations or sales. Hey, sales, by the way, here's the things that we're dropping the ball on. Here's some of the pain points that our current customers are feeling or that have had along that journey. Customer success is even saying the same thing of, hey, on that 60-day journey or that window, well, we've helped them on that journey. Here's some of the pain points that they had that they felt, or they felt maybe that you bamboozled them a little bit or you weren't clear on their expectations. So constantly bringing it back from what they heard and kind of having that full cycle, that postmortem at the end of the conversation, at the end of an implementation, and saying, this is where we dropped the ball and here's how we're going to improve. But the contact center in general has so much data that can get pushed into every single, the operations, the marketing team, the customer experience team, you name it. They all have the ability to gain access and add valuable information from the contact center. So I would highly recommend everybody kind of leaning in and saying, hey, this is the information that I'm trying to solve for. Do you guys have it or can we work with you to do it?
For the organizations you've seen that have been successful at doing that, holistically sharing data back and forth, supporting each other, what does that take from a leadership standpoint? Or is there anything that they have in place or have created in their organization that fosters that?
There is a couple of organizations come to mind. I think individuals, kind of like what I said about getting measured and paid or commissioned on specific things. So if I'm in marketing or if I'm in sales or if I'm in operations, I call it the Heisman approach, where it's the football is their department and they just kind of stiff arm everybody else. And they're like, well, if you're going to try to bring me a problem and I'm not measured on it or I'm not bonused on that, then I'm good. Like, I'm just going to give you the stiff arm and I'm going to move as fast as I can in the direction that can solve my problem and get paid for it. If you break down those silos and every, you know, maybe you have, you're saying, okay, well, you're in sales or you're in operations, you're in customer experience, you're in marketing, whatever it is. here is your portion of what you're measured on when it comes to the customer experience. If the senior leadership is constantly talking about it, not just the pixie dust and fairy tales, not just the, hey, I heard about customer experience on this last webinar and one of my peers is doing it, so I think we should probably put $50 towards it. It's not going to solve anybody's problem. Or if you're not actually measuring on it, or if you're not continuing to talk about it and you're saying, here's some of the things that we've solved for, or here's some of the pain points that we have and what we're going to do on that journey, then it's going to fail. If you continuing to submerge yourself in and focus on the customer, and you kind of break down those silos and saying, hey, here's what we're going to do. There's all sorts of Amazon, I think, with all their senior leadership once a year has to sit in the contact center for one day and listen to the conversations, and they can kind of see what's going on, what's not going on. Some organizations have an empty seat at the table, and that's the seat of the most important person in the room, which is the customer. There are other organizations at the end of when you talk about getting the latest and greatest technology, at the end of the day, if you're asking that question, did the customer say that they want this, or will this help the customer? Mm-hmm. That some of those things that you just want to keep in mind at the back of your head, or maybe it's at the front of your mouth, where you're saying, this is what we're going to do, and this is how it's going to solve the customer's problem, not just because it's a cool gadget that I want to implement.
Got it. I love it. What do you see as the near future for call center sales operations, customer experience, you know, both of those? Obviously, we're in the final quarter of 2021. Like, what do you see for the rest of this year, 2022, from the customer side, their preferences, technology, regulations? What is press one for Nick's crystal ball saying for, you know, what's coming near future?
Yeah. So if I can get the lights down and I can get the crystal ball in front of me and kind of the fog coming over my noggin, there's customers' expectations are constantly getting more and more demanding. And so what I see organizations do is, how am I taking all of this segmented information, segmented channels, segmented applications, and streamlining it for a better experience for both the employee and for the customer? Because the more that you can dig down and solve those problems and focus on the customer and the employee, the more that you're going to have success. They're going to continue to find ways to say, oh, I want to be on this channel, and I want to be on Instagram, I want to be on WhatsApp, I want to be on text, and I want you to meet me there on the channel of my choice and solve my problem inside that channel with the least amount of effort. And if you don't, I know somebody who will. And it's your assignment, it's your competitor, and they're going to go away. It's easier now more than ever to move to your competitor, for your customers to move to your competitor. And they just will, because it's no longer, hey, my roommate or my family member bought Tide soap when I was younger, so I'm going to buy Tide soap for the rest of my life. It's Tide soap. Hey, you customer service rep, in a sea of 4,000 people, you gave me a bad experience. And for that, I'm going to leave your organization, even though I was with you guys for the last 20 years. So stay vigilant and focusing on the customer and finding ways to solve their problem in the least amount of effort in the channel of their choice.
And I think that channel of your choice, omni-channel approach, definitely applies to the sales side. So for sales leaders listening to this or watching it as well, like, how do they want to start the process of buying? And then there's, how do they want service? And you said something earlier, and hopefully it's a line that you know that you can repeat, because I want people to hear it again right now. You said something like, customer service is the beginning where customer experience fails.
Customer service starts where customer experience, or customer service starts where customer experience fails. And because if you're not meeting the expectation of the customer, nobody calls into a call center or contact center and says, hey, Jason, just want to let you know I'm having an awesome day. Yeah, service is awesome. Your product is amazing, and you know, I'll just talk to you tomorrow. It's air high five. It's all about you drop the ball. I'm gonna start listening to Rocky music before I call, and I'm getting ready to rip you for the next 2 minutes, and you're gonna take it because you've taken it for the last 30 calls, and I'm gonna try to get everything. I'm gonna try to make sure the juice is worth the squeeze, and it's unfortunate, but if customer service doesn't educate customer experience and bring it back full cycle and say, hey, we've had 17 of these calls where the organization didn't meet expectations, maybe we should do something about that. Cause I'm tired of getting berated every day by the customer.
One final question, because I think it's so important, especially in this climate that we have. So we're recording this in September 2021. One of the biggest challenges I see with so many organizations, both on sales and service, just in general right now, is recruiting and retention. It's hiring people, it's finding good people who want to work, and then it's keeping them. Because just like what you said about brand loyalty, depending on how people are feeling, there's so many companies that need help. Company loyalty, it feels really low right now, if you can even get people in the door. What are you seeing as some solutions or companies who are doing it well, especially in the call center, sales, contact center space, where, you know, you're looking for a certain person, but then also you don't have an unlimited budget for payroll, right? For salaries.
Yeah. It's actually funny. So I'm going to be interviewing a guy, and I just read his book, and it's called Work Quick. So it's Steve Cadigan. He was the first chief human resource officer at LinkedIn. And he's like, you know, at the end of the day, it's not necessarily, hey, here's all these gadgets. Here is a coffee mug and a vest with our logo on it. So you should stay with us for about, you know, 10, 15 years, right? It's where are you at today? And at the end of the day, he even mentioned, like, customers are specifically in the customer service space. If you get 25 cents more per hour and they're going to give you a better process, or they're going to provide a better experience for you on the technology side and reduce effort, so you're not looking at 27 apps trying to solve a customer's problem and, you know, delaying them and saying, hey, how's the weather in Dallas while you are trying to fumble your next application. But he's like, so help them from where they're at, help them understand where they want to go as a individual, as a professional. And then if it's with your organization or not, help them grow. And what he's mentioned multiple times in the book and is, it's not necessarily, hey, I want to keep you around. What's the old analogy? What happens if I train somebody up and they leave, and somebody's like, well, what happens if I don't train the person up and they stay? Like, that's hilarious. But he's like, make sure that you build successful people and you continue to adapt and build the A team. And if they, hopefully they stay, but at the end of the day, you're helping organizations, or you're helping individuals grow. And it's tough. I mean, yeah, you can throw out, like I said, the flamingos on Friday. And I think that is a fun touch if you really want to, or whatever that is. But I think it's at an individual level too. What's important to that specific person, and how can you potentially meet their demands? Hey, you know what? Every Wednesday at 4:30, my son has a soccer game. Okay. So what does that mean to that individual, and how can I help them solve that problem? And then if I said every Wednesday at 4 o'clock, you got a 26 minute drive to the soccer game, I know you can make it, you know, tell me about what the score was on Wednesday or on Thursday. It's a different mindset than saying, hey, so my workforce management application says that you've missed every Wednesday. You've left every Wednesday at 4. What that does to me, and that changes their mindset. And you're like, well, what do they really care? Am I just a number? And if your employees feel like a number, your customers are going to feel like a number.
Well, and so here's what I love about that. And this is where I take this to as well is, and I used to say this as the closing line of my previous podcast, which is everything in life is sales. And what literally you and I were talking about, and you're focusing on in our conversation about selling, which you do, and good salespeople do, which is asking questions, discovery, listening, being quiet, like using that information to help solve their actual problem instead of just assuming everyone wants to buy from you and pushing what you've got, is you actually take that same approach, because everything is sales, and you move that into leadership. And if you did that same thing that you would do for customers in a proper sales process for your employees, which is what's important to them, what do they want? They're an individual. How do I solve their problems? How do I make them successful with my product, which is a job? It's literally the same principles. And what's interesting is when I see organizations that don't do sales well, or they're doing it in the classic mode, then generally they treat their employees the same way, because they just think everything is a, here's the way to do it. And I already know what you want. And it doesn't matter what you think you need.
Yeah. If you're selling widgets, and if you're treating your employees like a widget, mm-hmm. just to solve a problem, you're a manager, you're not a leader. If you are continuing to find ways to engage with your customers or with your employees, you understand what their needs are and why it's important to them, then you can kind of reverse engineer that to meet their expectations. And somebody once said, I think it was Shep Hyken, customer service legend. He said, I think it was Nick Zeisler. He said, you don't have to be amazing in customer service. You just have to beat the DMV. And I thought that was funny. Like you don't just be better than average than everybody else, and you're going to be just fine. But if at the end of the day, like you said, just listen to what people have to say. If they're your customers or your employees, hear them out, and then don't just say, okay, well, thanks for saying that, but do something about it. Acknowledge, understand, and then resolve their problem.
I love it. We have that same saying in surfing and scuba diving, which is you don't have to be faster than the shark. You just have to be faster than your buddy. So it's pretty much the same thing, right? Like,
I love it.
I don't have to be faster than a shark. I just have to be faster than you.
I'm now using that.
Yes. It also applies to bears and all kinds of things chasing you. So I think that's an awesome way to end, you know, wrapping up, tying in all of the sales, the customer experience side. I mentioned it before for people who want to check it out. Your podcast is amazing. It's Press One for Nick, which is the number one, pressoneforNick.com/podcast. Also, if they want to find out about the call center, cloud contact center solutions, the things that you're talking about, I know that website for you is govds.com. I know that they can find you on LinkedIn, because that's where we've chatted many times. Anywhere else people can find you, or some content or anything that you're putting out there that you're excited about?
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate that. Anywhere where podcasts are played, search for Press One for Nick if you want to learn more. Where, like you said, he's focused on customer service and customer experience. We bring on all sorts of leaders, and you know, I think we're on episode 98, 99, something like that. So looking forward to, yeah, it's been a blast. There's a lot of lessons learned. We can have a whole nother podcast about lessons learned on podcast, but you know, reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'm very active on LinkedIn. I'm starting to get pretty active on YouTube as well. So feel free to reach out to me. If you can't find me, then you spelt it wrong. So take a look in the show notes and find me, and happy to connect.
Awesome. I appreciate it, Nick. Thanks for coming on here and doing what I thought would happen for us, which is talking about customer service, sales, and blending it, hopefully helping people succeed while us having some fun at it. So I appreciate you and what you're doing for that side and organizations in general. And I appreciate you coming on here and sharing with this audience. So thank you for this.
You bet, man. Had a blast. Thanks for the opportunity.
Did you get some inspirations of ways to help your call center sales team win bigger, stronger, and faster? Hope you are fired up to scale your sales operations. If you got value from this podcast, please go in and leave a rating and review. Also, make sure to forward this episode to anyone else you know in the call center space. We appreciate your support in growing the scalable call center sales podcast family. And if you have any comments, ideas, or feedback, contact us at cutterconsultinggroup.com.